You have a Bible, please turn to the book of Acts and chapter 16. Book of Acts, chapter 16. Now, there's no denying that when you go off to work every day, your job can bring you into contact with some weird and wonderful people, depending on where you work and who you work with. Some have amazing life stories, while others have very little to say about their life. Some have a normal life, or they seem normal, while others seem to be very strange. I imagine a policeman would come across just about every different type of person you could come across in this world. You know, from the nice to the mean, to the gentle, to the cruel, to the sane, to the not so sane. I'm sure they have some weird and wonderful stories. I don't know any policemen to have a chat with them, but I'm sure they could tell you some amazing stories of people that they have come into contact with just because of their job. If there was a job that probably would be worse than a policeman, I would imagine it would be a prison warden. You know, the people that they deal with on a daily basis would be on the negative spectrum to what a policeman would deal with. You know, they deal predominantly every day at their job with the violent, the mean, the corrupt, the angry, and no doubt the weird. And I'm sure in the course of a year they could tell you some weird and wonderful stories. The people that they meet on a daily basis, or maybe just once off, and the stories or the life that they have to tell, or the opinions about life that they would love to share. And today what I'd like to do is look at a man in the Bible who was a prison warden. In the Bible, he's called a jailer. That's how you could call him. But he was in charge of a prison in the city of Philippi. And I'm sure with his job as a jailer, he would have seen a lot of strange things and come across a lot of strange people. I'm sure he heard some weird and wonderful stories. I'm sure he heard every sob story and heard every swear word. I'm sure he saw a lot of cruel things and experienced a lot of heartbreaking things as well, to the point that if he had done this job for a while, his heart would have been hardened to most things, where it would have rarely affected him. I'm sure as a jailer, he would have thought he had seen everything. Nothing could surprise him. I can imagine him saying to people, "With my job, there's nothing now that could surprise me. I've seen it all." If he had thought that, I'm sure he realized that that wasn't the case one night. Because one night, this jailer had two men brought to his prison who were real oddballs. Their names were Paul and Silas, and they were known as Christians, which he no doubt wouldn't have heard of before. Now, they hadn't killed anyone, they hadn't stolen anything. They had just upset a lot of people in his city for preaching about a Jesus from Nazareth, who they said was the King of Heaven, who was the Son of God, and he became a man and he lived amongst us, and he died on a cross in our place so that we can have peace with God and have our sins forgiven and saved from being punished in hell. And most people in the city didn't like hearing that. And so because of that, they put them on trial, then they beat them with rods, and then they threw them in prison. And this is when he came across them. And we read in chapter 16 in verse 23 this: "And when they had laid many stripes upon them," that's Paul and Silas, "they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." And so this is when he meets up with Paul and Silas, and this is when we meet up with this jailer. And he was told to make sure that these prisoners didn't escape. And this man knew what that meant. That meant that if they escaped, well, then it would cost him his life. And so, because of this, we read in verse 24, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And so he threw them in the deepest, darkest, most secure part of the prison. But that alone wasn't enough. He also, to doubly make sure that they don't escape, he put chains on their legs so nothing could be missed in keeping them there in that prison. And I could imagine as he left these prisoners that night, he was shaking his head wondering, why on earth are these men so crazy to allow themselves to be whipped with rods and put into prison for this man called Jesus? What is so special about him? And although this man may have thought that he had seen everything in that prison, this night was going to be like no other night. Because when he was sitting there relaxing, we're told that he began to hear a noise I imagine he hadn't heard before. Or not very often anyway, in his prison. Because we read in verse 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And so these two crazy Christians were praying. I imagine he's heard that before. But they were also singing praises to their God. I'm sure he had heard screaming in his prison, crying and cursing, but singing praises to their God after all that had happened to them, that may have taken him by surprise. We're not told what he thought or what he did. Maybe he laughed at them. Maybe he told them to be quiet. But inside, I'm sure he wondered if they had something he didn't have. Why, after being whipped and thrown into prison, would they then sing praises to this Jesus? Now that's odd. What has this Jesus done for them to want to praise him after going through this? And I'm not exactly sure what he was thinking, but I'm sure he noticed that these two Christians were very different to other prisoners that had been in his prison. But the strange night had only just begun, because we're told that when he fell asleep, his worst nightmare came true. If you were a prison warden and you knew that any prisoner got out, you would be put to death, what would be your recurring nightmare? Your recurring nightmare would be that all the prisoners have escaped. You know, that would be a terrible thing to have happen. Yet we read in verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Now, if you're a jailer, this would have to be your greatest nightmare. An earthquake so great that all the doors flung open. But not only that, it was so great that all the chains fell off the prisoners as well. So they were free to go. That would have to be your worst nightmare. Yet it wasn't a nightmare or a dream. It was reality. And when he woke up, he saw the doors open and he thought he was a dead man. He would have been sure that the prisoners would have escaped. And so he decided to take his own life before it was taken in a far more crueler way. And we read in verse 27, and the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. Before he was able to kill himself, we read in verse 28, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Not just Paul and Silas, but everybody. I don't know how Paul and Silas convinced all the other prisoners to stay there as well, or they just were in shock themselves and they didn't do anything, but they were all there. So we read in verse 29, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And so what we see here is this hardened jailer who had seen and heard just about everything that you could see and hear in this world and in this prison was blown away by the actions of these two Christians. Why didn't they run away? Why were they so worried about him killing himself? He hadn't done anything kind to them, yet they were being so kind to him. And when the jailer had noticed that these two Christians, how they spoke and how they acted and how they were so different to anyone else he had met, he knew they had found something that he needed. And so he said to them those wonderful words in verse 30, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? I need what you have. I need my sins forgiven. I need to be saved from the punishment of my sin." And so he asked them that wonderful question, and we read here in verse 31, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And so Paul and Silas told him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not told here if that's all they said or if they expanded on that, but I imagine they would have shared with him how Jesus was the Son of God who came to earth and lived amongst us, how he died on that cross in his place so that he can have his sins forgiven, and how he was buried and he rose again and he lives today to save sinners. And this man realized this day that what Paul and Silas had was a relationship with the true God of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ, who had forgiven their sins. And this man was saved and enjoyed that forgiveness. He had met some Christians who acted like people he had never seen before, and he wanted what they had. And you know, I'm sure that there are many people here that have a similar testimony to the jailer. That you grew up not knowing too much about Christianity and about the Lord Jesus. You thought that Christians were crazy. All that praying and all that singing and all that reading of the Bible and talking about Jesus just put them in that basket with all the other crazy people in this world, and you just thought they were oddballs. That was until you met a real Christian. And when you met a real Christian, you realized they had something that you didn't have. Maybe you worked with a real Christian and you noticed they didn't swear like everybody else. They didn't swear when they were upset about something. They didn't get involved in all the filthy speech like everyone else. They were nice. They were honest. They actually cared about you. They were very different to most people. Maybe you went to school with a Christian and they invited you along to a youth group. And there you sat with other Christians and they sang about this Jesus. And as you sat there, you listened to a man preach from the Bible. And although it all seemed a bit weird, that message spoke to your heart. And God touched you there. Maybe you had a brother or sister or a friend who became a Christian. And over time, you notice real changes. They stopped doing things that you thought they would never stop doing. They started in acting in ways that you thought were impossible for them to act. But regardless of how you met a real Christian, you knew they were different. And in the course of that time, you spoke to them about the Lord Jesus. You heard of what he had done. And just like this jailer at Philippi, you knew that you were a sinner and you needed forgiveness from God. And so you prayed and asked the Lord to forgive you of your sin, admitting you're a sinner, admitting that he died in that place, admitting that he was the Son of God who came and died and was buried and rose again and can save you of your sin. Maybe that's your testimony today. And if that is the case, well then praise the Lord for that. You know, that faithful Christian who witnessed to you at work or at school or in your family, they can be like your Paul or Silas. They were this oddball Christian that you met that was so different that you were drawn to find out what they had. And we all need to be those oddball Christians in the sense. When you live a godly life, you will seem strange to the ungodly. But they'll know you have something different. You know, as I was thinking about who was getting baptized today, and I thought about this jailer who was saved, I realized that none of them that are getting saved today will have a testimony like this jailer. Why? because they've all come from Christian homes. They've all grown up with hearing about the Lord and hearing the gospel and knowing that this, or imagining this is what normal life is. They didn't come across it when they were adults, or most of them aren't adults yet, except Christine. But they didn't sort of come across a Christian and think, wow, what is this? I've never heard this before. They've all grown up in that, in a Christian home. And I suspect, as we hear their testimonies, that a major influence on them trusting Christ was their parents. But the delightful thing is, as we continue to read in the book of Acts, we see this is what happened with the jailer at Philippi with his children. He heard what he needed to hear, and he wanted his whole family to hear it as well. In verse 32 we read, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." This man not only wanted to know how to be saved himself, when he heard the truth, he wanted his whole family to hear the truth as well. And so if we read between the lines here, he took them from the prison, he took them back to his home, and he got Paul and Silas to tell his whole household the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we read in verse 32 is a result of them hearing the gospel of Jesus and receiving it for themselves, where it says in verse 33, "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized. He," that's the jailer, "and all his," that is, all his household, "straightway." It wasn't only the jailer who was saved and baptized that night. It was his whole family. He heard the good news. He got saved. And what was his first thought? "I want my family to hear this good news as well." And for those getting baptized today, they are more like the children of the jailer. In fact, they're probably more like the grandchildren of the jailer. Most, if not all, have Christian parents and they have Christian grandparents. And that's a blessing. That's something we can praise the Lord for. You know, if you could go back to the days when of the book of Acts, and you were there at Philippi years later, and this young man or young lady got up to be baptized, if they did it sort of like this, or down at the river, and someone got up and said, "Well, my father led me to the Lord, and my father's father was a jailer. And one night there were these two prisoners that told him about the Lord Jesus. And my grandfather got saved. And so my dad brought them home and they preached the gospel to my father, who was just a young boy then, and he got saved. And as my dad grew up, he told me about the Lord Jesus and I got saved. And today I want to be baptized just like my father and just like my grandfather." That'd be a wonderful story, wouldn't it? I trust that happened. But regardless, that's the sort of testimony that we're going to hear today. Testimony of someone who heard the gospel from their parents, who most of them heard the gospel from their parents. And today they want to be baptized just like their parents were and just like their grandparents were. And as good as it is to hear the stories of people like the jailer, who came across these crazy Christians and knew they had something different and were saved, as wonderful as that is, to me it's just, if not more, exciting to hear the testimony of the children of the jailer and the grandchildren of the jailer. Because here we see that the work of God has continued from one generation to the next. And that's, if you're a parent, that's all you wish for. You don't wish that your children grow up to be rich or famous. You wish and pray that they will grow up to be saved and to love the Lord with all their heart and to want to serve Him in any way the Lord chooses for them to serve Him. And that's what we're going to hear today. And I'm looking forward to these testimonies. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for each one that is wanting to be baptized today. Thank you for the work you've done in their heart. We know that having Christian parents is a wonderful blessing, but it's not a right to get to heaven. We thank you that each one here today has chosen for themselves to receive the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And we ask that, Lord, as we hear how you brought them to that point, that your name will be glorified in our midst. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.